بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين، وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين، وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah. May Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend this lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَإِن تَظَاهَرَا عَلَيْهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ مَوْلَاهُ وَجِبْرِيلُ وَصَالِحُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Now this ayah is in reference to an incident that took place at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when two of his wives, peace be upon him, did something which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not pleased with. And this ayah was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, showing support to the Prophet that if they were to do that thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam disliked, then indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supporting his Prophet, Jibreel is supporting the Prophet as well, and Salihul Mu'mineen, the righteous Muslims. And some interpreters said this was in reference to two particular ones, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu. Because the two wives that were involved in that incident were Aisha and Hafsa. Aisha, the daughter of Abu Bakr, Hafsa is the daughter of Umar. And that was regarding a matter that took place at the time, or an incident that took place at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He passed by one of his wives and she offered him to eat some honey. So he ate honey at her house. When he went to the other wife, she mentioned to him that you ate honey, because they knew about this incident, that the Prophet ate honey at the wife's house and it wasn't her turn. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was just passing by. Then the other wife mentioned the same. Then when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt that they weren't comfortable that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by that wife and ate honey at her house, out of his sympathy and compassion and mercy sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I will not eat honey. He said, I will not eat honey. In Arabic, the term for this expression is used as follows: إني حرمت على نفسي أكل العسل. حرمت here doesn't mean I deemed it forbidden, because it's permissible to eat honey. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant I will not eat it anymore. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah to the Prophet: يا أيها النبي لما تحرم ما أحل الله لك. تَبْتَغِي مَرْضَاتَ أَزْوَاجِكَ. And why you are preventing yourself of something that Allah made permissible for you, and you're doing this merely to please your wives. And this is out of the compassion and the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To that extent, he was keen not to upset any of his wives. So, and because they did what they did of planning to ask the Prophet about this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the support that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has. Allah ta'ala said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ مَوْلَاهُ, meaning Allah Azza wa Jal supports his Prophet. وَجِبْرِيل, angel Jibreel supports the Prophet as well. وَصَالِحُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, Abu Bakr and Umar are in full support of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So those are the ones that are close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the righteous Muslims like Abu Bakr, Umar and others. Those are very close to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. In Sahih al-Bukhari, it is mentioned as well that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Inna ala Abi Talib laysu bi awliyai, innama waliyya Allah wa salihul mu'minin. Meaning the clan of Abi Talib are not the ones that are close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was referring to those who were not believers. Rather, he said, "Innama waliyyi Allah." Allah subhanahu wa taala supports his Prophet and the righteous believers. So, if you are righteous, then you are close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you are a sinner, you are far away from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, in a hadith narrated by At-Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna awla an-nas bi al-muttaqun man kanu wa haythu kanu." Meaning, those who are close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the closest ones to the Prophet, are those who are righteous, whoever they are and wherever they are. Those righteous Muslims are the ones who fulfill all the obligations and avoid all the sins. And amongst the obligations is to acquire the obligatory knowledge about the religion, meaning to learn about what is permissible and what is forbidden, to learn about what is permissible and what is forbidden amongst the food, the clothing, drinking and money. Because not every food is permissible, not every clothing is permissible, not every drink is permissible, not every money you consume is permissible. So to learn about these matters, what you are allowed to consume and what you are not allowed to consume, that is very important. This can only be achieved through acquiring the knowledge about the religion from those trustworthy ones who have learned from others, who have learned from trustworthy ones as well, until you reach with the chain to the companions. May Allah raise their ranks. So you will have a continuous chain of teachers. You learned from someone, from your sheikh. That sheikh learned from another sheikh. That sheikh learned from another sheikh. Until you reach with this continuous chain the companions, may Allah raise their ranks. This is the way the knowledge of the religion is acquired. But if there is someone who is acquiring the knowledge from the internet, he searches on Google any question he wants to know about, any matter he wants to know about. So he doesn't have that continuous chain of teachers to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is severed. It is cut up to here. So if you know of someone, let us say, and there are many of them these days, they read in books, they read on the net, on some websites, they get some information, then they go to the mosque and they teach. So their information is extracted from the internet or books. So you are learning from them, but they haven't learned from trustworthy ones who acquired the knowledge from other ones who are trustworthy and so on, till you reach with the chain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that chain discontinues. They don't have that continuous chain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such people, you should not acquire the knowledge from them. So the one who has acquired the obligatory knowledge, what is necessary for him to learn through this way that we have mentioned, not through reading books, it has to be through learning from those who are trustworthy. Even if he doesn't reach the status of being a mufti, the one who issues fatwa, religious edicts, religious judgments, even if he doesn't reach that stage, he fulfilled, he acquired the knowledge, the obligatory knowledge, he performed the obligations, he avoided the sins, such a person is called what? A pious person. That's a pious person. That's a righteous person. In Arabic, we call him taqi. And the plural is al-muttaqoon or al-atqiya. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying, inna awlan nasi biya al-muttaqoon. The closest ones are those who are pious. The closest ones to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam are the ones that are pious. Then the Prophet said, man kanu, meaning whoever they are, from which race, from which country, from which background. They could be from non-Arabic background as well. It doesn't matter from where they are, who they are. وَحَيْثُ كَانُوا, and from where they are, as long as they are pious. If they fear Allah Azza wa Jal, they acquired the knowledge about religion, they fulfilled the obligations and avoided the sins, those are the closest ones to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A person might be living in the far east of the earth or the far west, but he might be a pious person, righteous. He will be closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the one who was born in Medina, where the Prophet is buried, lived in Medina all his life, but he is not pious. So the consideration Islamically is by what? By the real closeness to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The real closeness to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is through piety. When you are pious, when you fear Allah azza wa jal. So you might be living here in this country and you are far away from Medina, but you have acquired the knowledge about religion, you are fulfilling the obligations, you are avoiding the sins, your heart is attached to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, full of passion and love and longing for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you are definitely closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam than many who are living in Medina around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, however they are not pious. So one will be elevated and raised in ranks on the day for judgment according to his level of piety. So piety raises you in ranks, not lineage. A person might be from the descendants of Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn. And you know, all those who are related to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now, from his descendants, are either from Al-Hasan or Al-Husayn. So you might find a person who is from the descendants of Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, the two sons of Fatima alayha salam. They are from that lineage of Al-Hasan or Al-Husayn. But another person who is not from the descendants of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, however, he acquired the knowledge about the religion, he practiced what he acquired, he's fulfilling the obligations and avoiding the sins, then such a person will be closer to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam than those of his own descendants, however, they are not pious. And that's the beauty of our religion. That's the beauty of our religion. So regardless of your background, regardless of your skin color, regardless of your gender, regardless of from which country you came or what language you speak, if you are pious, and the more pious you become, the closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam you become. That's one of the manifestations of the beauty of Islam. Alhamdulillah for making us amongst them. Then in order for one to be raised in ranks in the hereafter, he must have patience. And patience is of three types. First type of patience is to be patient against committing any of the sinful matters. That needs patience. Because when you see something forbidden, haram, others are doing, and you find yourself able to do it, you have access to it, but you are preventing yourself from committing this haram, this forbidden thing, this is a type of patience. To withhold from committing haram. Not to come near the haram. That needs to go against your desires and bad inclinations. That needs patience. And this is the hardest type of patience. This is the hardest time. To keep yourself away from the haram. To withhold from committing the haram. So you don't come near it. That's the hardest type of patience. And this is better than performing the optional deeds. The optional deeds, the nawafil. So if there is someone who stays awake all night praying optional prayers, reciting Quran, performing recommended matters, however, during the day, he commits sins. And there is another person who fulfills the obligations, avoids all the sins, he doesn't come near them, however, he doesn't perform optional recommended deeds. This person is better than that one who stays all night praying the optional prayers, reciting Quran and other recommended matters, however, he does commit sins. To refrain from committing sins, this is better than performing the recommended matters. How, you know, many people would think about, oh, I'm going to wait for Ramadan, Yeah, I love to go to the mosque to pray Taraweeh prayer. I want to pray 20 rak'ahs and pray witr as well every night of Ramadan. This is something optional, recommended. So they think about this, however they commit sins. You might find another person who does not pray the Taraweeh prayer. However, he fulfills all the obligations and avoids all the sins. This one is better. To refrain from committing a sin is better than performing optional recommended matters. To avoid committing one sin is better than gaining 1,000 hasana from the optional recommended deeds. To avoid committing one sin is better than gaining 1,000 hasana from the optional deeds. This is to give you an idea how important is it for one to train himself. This is what they call self-restraint. You control yourself. You don't come near haram. That needs patience. You need to train yourself. Self-discipline. They call it self-discipline. Train yourself not to come near haram. Although it might be accessible to you, but don't come near it. You have the chance to get money from haram, maybe thousands and hundreds of thousands, but from haram, don't come near them. You have another chance to get $100 from halal, take that one. Don't take the one from haram. What does that need? That needs one to be strong, to oppose his desires, to go against his bad inclinations. Because when one sees hundreds of thousands of dollars in front of him, and it is accessible, but he needs to refrain from this because it's haram, that needs patience. So this is the hardest type of patience. If one performs the obligations and avoids the sins, we call him a pious person, taqi. Between him and righteousness, that's what we call wilaya, to become wali, righteous Muslim. All what he needs to do is to perform many rewardable or optional rewardable deeds, even one type, such as making zikr. And if one, after performing the obligations and avoiding the sins, want to take or to perform one optional rewardable deed, something of one type, in order to reach righteousness al-wilaya, and he wants to make zikr, you know, praising Allah Azza wa Jal, now at least, he would be saying 12,000 times La ilaha illallah in a day. 12,000 times La ilaha illallah in a day. So he performed the obligations, avoided the sins. Now he is performing what? An optional rewardable deed, which is praising Allah Azza wa Jal zikr. But he needs to do it in a great amount. What's a great amount? Great deal of zikr in that case. Yeah, they said around 12,000 times of saying La ilaha illallah in a day. Some people might select another way, which is praying optional rewardable deeds. You know, Zain al-Abidin, who is Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. So he is from the descendants of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the son of Al-Husayn, the martyr, alayhi salam. Zain al-Abidin was called Al-Imam Al-Sajjad. Al-Imam Al-Sajjad. Al-Sajjad is derived from prostration, Al-Sujood. Why they used to call him Al-Imam Al-Sajjad? Because he used to pray throughout the day and night of the optional prayers 1,000 rak'ah. Every day, 1,000 rak'ah of the optional prayers. Every day, throughout day and night, would pray 1,000 rak'ah of the optional prayers. That's why he was called Al-Imam Al-Sajjad. There was another scholar who used to have, he was a righteous Muslim as well, a shop. He used to sell like grocery. When he opens the shop in the morning, that's in the morning, before he starts, he prays 200 rak'ahs. So there are some, and those will reach righteousness. They fulfilled the obligations, avoided the sins. Now they are performing optional rewardable deeds. This is a pathway to righteousness. And they become from the awliya as-salihin. The second type of patience is to be patient on performing the acts of obedience, like to be patient and regular on performing the obligatory prayers, so you don't miss out any of the obligatory prayers because you are preoccupied with something else, like a child or money or a friend. Some people, unfortunately, for the sake of their children, they disobey Allah. Because they are doing something for their children that might make them miss out some of the obligatory prayers. Like some mothers who become preoccupied preparing food for their children, and they want to finish the food on time, so when the children come back, the food will be ready. And what they do? They miss out some of the obligatory prayers. You know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about them in the Quran? That such people, the children, had turned into enemies for them. Because Allah mentioned in the Quran that from amongst your wives and your children, those who turn enemies to you or against you. Why they turn enemies against us? When we get preoccupied, busy, looking for something for them, and we miss out some of the obligations. It doesn't matter how much you love your children, but you should always think about obeying Allah first. If your children will wait for another 1 hour for the food to be ready, they're not going to die out of hunger and starvation. So do not turn your wives and your children enemies against you. And some people, because they are as well busy trying to make the wives happy, getting busy with something, to do something for the wives to make them happy, sometimes they might miss out some of the obligations, and in that case they have turned the wives as enemies against them. Also, some people would not pray when the weather is very cold. So in a very cold weather, they don't pray. If they wake up in the morning, in a very cold night, and it's time for Fajr prayer, they don't get up. They think about the water being cold, and they don't get up and pray. Although these days, most of the houses are equipped with heating system, where they have hot water system in the house fitted, so they can have warm water to make wudu with, and despite that, they remain lazy in bed. If one misses out, keep that in mind. One obligatory prayer without an excuse, that is worse than losing all his money and all his family members. Just one. Missing out one obligatory prayer without an excuse is worse than losing all of your family members and all of your money all at once. That's a prayer. So how many people these days would miss out prayers just because they are busy working? They are at uni, they are at TAFE. No, when it's time for the prayer, go and pray. You're not going to fail. Now, some people say, no, I can't leave. I have to stay. The lecture is for 3 hours. And if he needs to go to the toilet, he will ask for a permission to go to the toilet. So why go into the toilet? You have time. But to go and pray, you don't have time. You know, like missing out one prayer without an excuse and dying without repentance makes one deserving of being subject to a severe torture and hellfire. One prayer, one obligatory prayer. If you miss it out, you deserve to be tortured. If you didn't repent from it before death, you deserve to be tortured in hellfire severely on the day of judgment. This is a major sin. This is a major sin. Allah said, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ, meaning, woe to those who do not pray until the time of the prayer is over. They keep deferring. They deserve to be tortured in hellfire and in the grave as well if they die without repentance. Same in Ramadan, when it's a very hot weather and one wants to fast, there is a hardship in fasting and you need to be patient here to perform this obligation, to bear the hardship, to remain patient. That's the meaning of it. Just look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you of the endowments in this life. You have good health, you have eyes, you can see. Just close your eyes once. Imagine you are blind. Block your ears. Imagine you are deaf. Imagine you cannot talk. Allah gave you all these endowments. You can eat. You can drink. You can walk. You can talk. All these endowments bestowed upon you from Allah Azza wa Jal. Then you are lazy to perform 5 obligatory prayers that won't take half an hour from you in a day, in a 24-hour interval. Why? You cannot fast the month of Ramadan, although fasting is very healthy for one. Even in some researches recently, they talk about the benefits of fasting. It's good for your body. It's good for your body. Look, in the past, they used to fast more than us and they used to be healthier, stronger in the past. So it's not by a lot of eating that you become stronger and healthier. No. Sometimes you mix up everything, you stuff it up, as you say, you become sick. And the third type is to remain patient when inflicted with hardships and calamities. Like the one who is poor, for instance, and he remains patient. He doesn't want to extend his hand into haram. He's accepting, he's content. Like the one who is sick, he's not objecting to Allah's will. Alhamdulillah, I'm still better than many others. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us in the hadith that if you see someone inflicted with a calamity, could be sickness. You visit someone at the hospital, they chop off his legs. He had a car accident, they chopped off his hand, whatever. Something like this. You see someone who is inflicted, if you say, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي عَافَانِي مِمَّا ابْتَلَاكَ بِهِ وَفَضَّلَنِي عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِمَّنْ خَلَقَ تَفْضِيلًا. If you say this type of dua, then this type of infliction won't befall you for the rest of your life. If you say this dua, Alhamdulillah الَّذِي عَافَانِي مِمَّا ابْتَلَاكَ بِهِ, I thank Allah for protecting me from such a calamity or hardship that you are inflicted with, and gave me what many haven't been given. So if you look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, you will find this plenty. Plenty of endowments bestowed upon you. So you are, with all these endowments, in a better situation than those who are disadvantaged, less fortunate, as they call them. But they might be more fortunate than you, if they are pious, if they fear Allah Azza wa Jalla. But we're talking about the worldly matters. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man yuridillahu bihi khayran yusib minhu." Narrated by Al-Bukhari. Meaning, if Allah willed goodness for someone, Allah will inflict him with calamities. So the one who is inflicted with calamities and hardships, and he remains patient, that means Allah willed goodness for him. He will be raised in ranks. That's why in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna 'izama al-ajri ma'a 'izami al-bala'." Inna 'izama al-ajri ma'a 'izami al-bala'. So the amount of rewards you receive is based on what? The degree of calamity you are inflicted with. So the more you are inflicted with, the more rewards you receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that reason, the righteous people in the past used to rejoice. It's like celebrating, rejoicing any calamity that befalls them. Now we complain a lot. Someone has headache, he couldn't sleep the whole night. The following day, everyone in the factory will know about it. Everyone at the uni will know about it. Oh, I had a bad night, didn't sleep, headache, whatever. He's upset. The righteous Muslims would rejoice, would feel happy. Alhamdulillah, they got inflicted. That means Allah willed goodness for them. This is how they used to think about it from that way. If you think about calamities in a positive way, that Allah willed goodness for you, that will help you not to object to Allah's will. And you say, Alhamdulillah, I accept. Unfortunately, some people obey Allah only when they have good times. But when they get inflicted with calamities and hardships, they stay away from the acts of obedience. Those are lost. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ حَرْفٍ فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ اطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٌ انْقَلَبَ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. So that's the situation of some people who embrace Islam, and when they embrace Islam, they were in a good situation money-wise, financially, they were living in endowments, the worldly endowments. Then after they embraced Islam and they started practicing Islam, they might be inflicted with calamities, lose some of the money, become sick and the like. وَالْعِيَازُ بِاللَّهِ They say, since we embrace Islam, we haven't seen a good day. Islam wasn't good for us. So they commit blasphemy, وَالْعِيَازُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى by saying this, and those will turn on their faces and they will lose this world and the hereafter. Because they already lost these endowments in this life. If they had money, they lost the money now. And by committing blasphemy, if they die in that state as well, they lost the hereafter as well. So they're not winners in this life, nor in the hereafter. They're not winners in this life, nor in the hereafter. But the believer is a winner in all cases. In all cases. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, how strange the case of the Muslim is. All of his affairs are good. If Allah bestows an endowment upon him, and he thanks Allah for this endowment, he shows thankfulness, he will be rewarded for showing thankfulness to Allah Azza wa Jal, and that will be good for him. If he gets inflicted with a calamity and he remains patient, he will be rewarded for remaining patient for this calamity that befell him, and that will be good for him. So in both cases, it's good for him. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know, how strange, surprising. Look at this. If Allah bestows endowments upon him and he thanks Allah for these endowments, he will be rewarded for thanking Allah. If he gets inflicted with a calamity and he remains patient, he will be rewarded for remaining patient. So in both cases, what? It's good for him. Alhamdulillah for making us amongst the believers. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make our ending as pious and righteous believers. Ameen. And Allah knows best. We say La ilaha illallah 3 times.